I don't think you can start anything without vision. I think it has to be the very first characteristic that an entrepreneur puts out there, because I don't care whether you think about Steven Jobs or Bill Gates or Elon Musk or Steve Wozniak or Richard Branson. They all started with something they saw. They all started with something that they could see very clearly. And then they found a way to go make that happen. So I think vision is the very first one.
Welcome to the Reinventing Perspectives podcast, the place for new entrepreneurs who are driven by purpose, profit, and impact.
It's time to reinvent.
Welcome to Reinventing Perspectives. Today we have an amazing guest. I promised you that this season we are coming with a lot of fire and a lot of heat, and today's no different. I've got Ken Rusk here. Ken, please tell us, who are you and what's your mission?
My name is Ken Rusk, and I guess you could call me a blue-collar entrepreneur. I've had a lot of success opening up different types of construction companies. I do it mainly through coaching and staff development. We started back in 1986 with six people. We have nearly 200 today, over four or five companies, and yeah, it's been a great ride.
I'm so excited for this because our audience is the early entrepreneur. So we're wanting to know, before you even got to the six, how did you get to the six, and then how did you get to the 200? You know, we'd love to hear your story. Can tell us, what is a blue collar entrepreneur?
It's interesting because if I asked you, I get this all the time. People say, well, you're lucky, you're an entrepreneur. Well, I don't even know what that means. Okay. So when someone tells me about being an entrepreneur, one of the first things that I always tell them is, here's a piece of paper and here's some crayons, draw entrepreneur. And you can't, because it's a very vague term. It's a term that kind of overarches or over encompasses a lot of different things. So an entrepreneur is basically just a set of eight or nine characteristics that we all possess. We just need a reason for them to come out. We need a reason for them to show up in all of us. And typically what that is what you want your life to look like and why. When you can answer that question, and we can talk more in depth into that, that's really what makes entrepreneurship work in all of us. So the good news is we can all be entrepreneurs. It's not reserved for a special chosen few. I started back in 1986, and it was a journey that started even before that when I was 15 years old. My high school shared a fence with an industrial park. And after school, we would cut through a hole in the fence and we would go through that industrial park to the corner to hang out at the local carryout and just do what kids did. And I always remembered walking through this industrial park, and there was all this energy and there was people hustling about and there was, you know, construction equipment and all of the things that young kids would like, you know, that they would love to play with, actually. So when I was younger, I thought to myself, you know, I need a job like anybody else. I need to take my girlfriend out for pizza. I want to buy my first used car, whatever. So I went into one of these buildings and I said, what do you do here? And they said, we basically dig ditches. And I said, okay, well, I can do that. I'm qualified for that. So we started doing that. I dug ditches in the summertime, and in the wintertime, I would work inside the office when I was still in high school. And that all kind of like flowed into the ability for me to see what the whole company looked like and how it worked. Now, when I was 18, I had the choice of either going to college or staying at this job. And they started opening franchises or satellite offices of the business. And they offered me the ability to go do that. So I traveled around for the next 3 or 4 years, opening companies from scratch where they hadn't even existed. And that was good for 3 or 4 years because it taught me a lot. I got to learn, you know, how to do things right and to avoid things wrong and do that on somebody else's investment money. So it was really great. And at some point I said, okay, now I know how to do this. I'm tired of living out of a suitcase, traveling so much. So we decided to move to our town where we're located today. And I found six people that I made believers. And we started with six and we just took it from there. That was 30 some years ago. And it's, again, it's a really interesting and very rewarding ride.
Wow. You found six people and you made them believers. To the new entrepreneur that's thinking, I've got this idea. How do I rally people behind this idea? You know, if you could take us back to that time.
Yeah. So one of the things that I always believed was if I could create a group of people around me that were entrepreneurial thinking, you know, they call them two things. They call them entrepreneurial employees or they call them intrapreneurs. And what that means is somebody that works within your company that feels like they help run the company, that feels like they're running their own division or their own department the way they would do it. So they're in control of the cost, the budgeting, they're in control of the results, and they're in control of the profitability of that particular department. And then they get paid and bonused and they share in the profits of that. So for me, I knew that if I was going going to grow this company to 200 people, it was going to take a lot of management style, a lot of skill, and a lot of time. I just knew I couldn't do that all by myself. So I promised these people that if they came along with me for this ride and they hung out and they were long-term, they could build a life for themselves within my company while we were all building the company to be bigger than it was. A lot of times people, when they think of an entrepreneur, they think of this hard-driving boss who's mean and demanding and they know it all and there's a lot of ego involved in that. Well, for me, I never had that. I always thought I can't get what I want for myself, nor can my company get what it wants or needs for it until all of the people around me get what they want first. And it's absolutely true, Priscilla, because you're working on an input-output scenario. And, you know, as the owner of the company, you're usually at the output at the end of that. So everybody needs to win before you win. And that's just the way we look at it.
I love that so much that you said there. That's just gems to the audience that's listening. Now, what do you think are some of the big misconceptions about blue-collar entrepreneurship, Ken? Because I think a lot of people, when they're thinking, I need to come up with a business idea, it's not immediately the first thing they think of, especially in today's kind of high-tech environment.
That's very interesting because if you think about what's happening in the world, you know, I don't know if in your high schools you have something called shop class where you can learn the trades. Well, when we were in the 80s, in 1980s and 90s, you could walk the hallways of our high schools and you could see somebody fixing a car or building a table or welding some metal or wiring some outlets. Or doing someone's nails or doing their hair or baking or cooking, whatever. Those opportunities, that was where millions of kids accidentally discovered how cool the trades were. And they took those opportunities out of the high schools and they replaced those rooms with computers. Well, that's fine. We all needed to learn computers, but why did it have to be a choice between one or the other? You automatically eliminated millions of people from coming into the trades. Now, if you think about it, when I was younger, we would go play in the neighborhood. We'd run around, jump in the creeks and run through the woods and build tree forts and do all that kind of stuff. Well, you know, that's lumber, that's nails, that's hammers, it's tools. That's where you learn to use those things. Now kids are building cities on Minecraft on their cell phones and on their iPads, and that's not the same experience. It just isn't. So you have those two forces working against the trades. And then, you know, colleges are really good at saying you have to go to college or else. You're never going to be successful. That's never been true in the history of our world. It isn't true now. And it's almost less true going forward in the future because as less and less people get into the trades, it creates a supply and demand imbalance. And you know very well that where supply is low and demand is high, that's where the money goes. So a blue-collar entrepreneur or anyone who's considering doing work with their hands, you have a golden opportunity because you're going to be thinking about doing something that everybody else isn't doing. And we all know that that's where the financial reward is. I would encourage anybody out there that's thinking about going into a business, look at your local market, see what's missing or see what's dwindling away to nothing and fill those voids because there are businesses in Toledo where people are making $200,000-$300,000 a year, but they're ready to retire and nobody wants to take their business over. I find that insane, but it's happening. So the opportunities have never been better to make a good solid life in the blue collar field.
Join our vibrant community. It's free. Signing up on our website at www.reinventingperspectives.com, you get exclusive access to our monthly review of best-selling business books. Our goal in this community is simple: supercharge our business knowledge and propel our businesses forward. Thank you for listening in, and let's dive back into our episode. I'd love for you to go into your book. Ken is the author of the book, Blue Collar Cash. You need to read this book. Now, Ken, tell us like what inspired you to write this book, and then give us some teaser insights into the book.
You know, when you have a staff of 200 people, you do a lot of coaching. It's just part of the nature of running a group of people that large. And I had a lot of successes with coaching through visualization. I always thought to myself, if you can see something clearly enough, you can get it. Almost anything. If you can see it clearly, if you think about it every day, if it wakes you up in the morning and you think about it at night, if you have a clear picture of that posted somewhere on the wall, and we do that here in the office, you can get almost anything because your brain is so powerful that it attracts itself to what it sees the most clearly. And your subconscious or the involuntary actions that you don't even know you're doing walk you towards that goal. So I thought, well, I have this history of coaching people and it works really well. And it's simple. And they don't teach this in high school. And I don't understand why. But it's really easy to do. Anybody can do it. It doesn't cost you any money to do it. But to visualize what you want your future to look like is so important. And it's so powerful. And it's something that kids need to learn. So I thought, well, I'm going to put that language into a book. And you don't even have to be a blue collar person to read this book, because it talks to you about how to build your future the way you want it. Not the way somebody else says you should have it, not the way your teacher says it should be, or your high school or your parents or your coach or your college or whatever, or society. What do you want? How do you see your future? What do you want that to look like? You are the only one who knows that. Nobody else can tell you that. So harness the power of your brain. Harness the power of vision. Read books like mine that teach you how to do that. And then live the life that you want for yourself.
Ken, please, if I can take you back a little bit. You started off, you got into digging the ditches. And then you found six people and you rallied them behind this, I'll help you get what you want and you help me get what I want. What skills do you think you sort of put forward as your number one skill and changing over time? Because I get a feeling that at some point it was the actual work, and then at some point it was sort of like the leadership, and at some point it became the coach. If I'm following it correctly, what would be the number one skill you'd tell a new entrepreneur to focus on?
Well, in the book, I write about 9 characteristics of an entrepreneur. Things like vision, initiative, faith, courage, persistence, resilience, humility, generosity, all those kinds of things. Again, I don't think you can start anything without vision. I think it has to be the very first characteristic that an entrepreneur puts out there, because I don't care whether you think about Steven Jobs or Bill Gates or Elon Musk or, you know, Steve Wozniak or Richard Branson, they all started with something they saw, okay? They all started with something that they could see very clearly, and then they found a way to go make that happen. So I think vision is the very first one. But I want to say again, so all your listeners out there understand this, we all have the ability to do this, and I'm going to prove it right now. So we're all very good at planning vacations, right? Or holidays, as you might call them. We're all good at anticipating how cool or how much fun that's going to be. Like, okay, I'm going to go to the beach. I can feel the beach in my toes, okay? I'm going to go out in the sun. I can feel the warm sun on my face. I'm going to go to this particular resort. It has this pool. It has music. It has color. It has sights. It has sounds. I can feel the breeze. I can smell the suntan lotion. I can taste the drink or whatever I'm going to do there. We all are really good at anticipating, okay, I'm going to plan this vacation, and then 3 months from now, I'm going to go on this vacation or this holiday. Well, we're all really good at that. It's something that we all just kind of have in our DNA to be able to figure that out. If we're so good at planning vacations because we can see them very clearly, why can't we be that good at planning all the things in our life? Our first house, our first car, our first checking account, our first credit card, our first apartment, our charity that we would do, our health that we would do, our hobbies, our sports. Why can't we look at all those things, draw them out very clearly like we do vacations, and then plan them all out so that we can anticipate all the types of things in our life that we would want? Because again, it's not if you're going to get these things, it's when. And all you need to do is change the if to when by adjusting the time. Am I going to do this in 3 years or 5 years or 10 years? Fine. Am I going to do this in 6 months or 6 weeks? Fine. Look at it, have a start date and an end date. And I know you hear that a lot, but what most people don't understand is if you take 100 people, and studies have been done on this subject, if you take 100 people and you put them in a room and you say, how many of you have crystal clear goals? You're only going to get 20 people that say that they do. Of the 20, if you ask them, how many of you have taken these goals and written them down or draw them out really clearly and colorfully, you might get 4 people to say, yeah, that I do that. I actually write my goals down. But then when you ask them, how many of you have them posted on the wall in your bathroom or in your bedroom or in your kitchen or in your office or in your car? Only 1 of 100 people say that they've gone that far. So you can talk about it. You can think about it. You can dream for it. You can wish for it. You can hope for it, or you can do it today. And I think that's the difference.
That focus, that keeping your eye on what it is that you're trying to do. When you talked about the vacation, I said, I don't know. For everything else in life, it's like we just kind of letting things happen except for vacation.
That's exactly right. That's why I put it out there, because most people are very familiar with being able to plan that. Isn't it fun to anticipate your vacation? The anticipation is almost as fun as going and doing it. It makes you smile when you think about it. You might be having a stressful day, but you're like, man, in 3 weeks, I'm going to go on this vacation. Now, why can't you do that with the rest of your life? It just makes sense to me.
Yeah, it absolutely does. Now, I love that you talked about one of the characteristics being resilience. In your journey with what you've built and from where you've started, what was the biggest challenge that you faced and how did you get past that?
Early on in my career, I thought that my value was in how much I did personally. I thought my value was in answering all the questions, solving all the problems, writing all the goals, steering the company by myself, doing all the things that you would think a typical owner would do. And it wasn't until I figured out that my goal should be almost to be irrelevant to the company's daily workings so that I can rise above the company and look back down, almost like if you had the business and you took the roof of the building off and you looked down in to see what was going on down there, you could plug yourself in to where you feel you were needed the most. And you could also have time to think about, where's this company going? What's the vision? What's the future look like? What are the possibilities? Well, if you're stuck attached to a machine all day, okay, you don't have the ability to get away and think like that. So for me, the biggest lesson I learned was, let it go. Don't think that your value is you being this figurehead. Get people involved, get them working as a team, get them working for themselves first and you second, and you're going to have a winner there.
That's such a good one, Ken. There's so much pride and like feeling good about yourself when you feel like you're key to things, and being able to let that go so that you can do what you're actually supposed to do as the owner. Wow, it's a big transition.
Well, think about that. That's a very good point, Priscilla. Now think about that. Why are you opening your own company to begin with? You're probably doing that so you can have comfort, peace, and freedom, like I talk about in the book, right? You're opening your own company so that it's your thing. You can control it. You can control your input. You can control your output. You can control the quality of your output. You can control your day, your schedule, your time. You can control your financial gain. So you're opening a business for a reason. The reason isn't so that you can be tethered to the business so you can't leave it. The reason isn't so that you can work 80 hours a week and show everybody how cool you are because you're always at the business. No, you're running the company so that you can live your life, okay? You decided to open your own company so that you happen to life rather than life happening to you, like you just said a minute ago. So in that vein, if that's truly why you're doing it, then you should want that comfort, peace, and freedom time so you can balance out your whole life. You can balance out your spirituality, balance out your charity, balance out your generosity, your love, your spontaneity, your family life, your health life, your sport life. All of those things need to be balanced out. And I think that's why you decided to run companies in the beginnings. From the very beginning, you should be thinking about filling all those buckets equally and not just so concerned about just killing yourself at your company.
Such wise advice, Ken. You've got several businesses and you've got a lot of things going on. How do you keep your passion going when you've been at something for a while and, you know, just the stress of being at something for a long time?
Well, first off, you know, once you design your life the way you want it, that picture that you have on the wall, it evolves, okay? Maybe you move into your first house and it's your starter house and you get it perfect just the way you want it, and then your family grows and you move into a bigger house, or maybe you change the way you live. You lived in the mountains, you want to move to the suburbs, or you want to move to the city or whatever. Your goals will evolve as you do that, and the picture will evolve as well. I'm always chasing about a half a dozen things, always. Some of them are 1 year away, some of them are 3 years away, some of them are 5 years away, some are 10 years away. Some of them are 6 weeks away, and some of them are next Friday. So as long as those things are progressing, I have all the energy in the world to keep going at my business. It never gets old. It never gets dull because it's a means to an end, and that end is life, life the way I want to live it. So it's almost like cooking. I mean, you cook every single day, but the goal is to create a delicious meal for yourself, right? And as long as that happens, you're happy to do it. You know what I mean? My goal is to create as many cool moments or memories in my lifetime. And I do it. I do it with my boat. I do it with my cars. I do it with my sports. I do it with my family. I do it with my pets. I do it with everything, with my employees. As long as you're constantly creating really cool memories for yourself and rewarding yourself in small, medium, and large ways, it never gets tiring because it's life that you're living. It's not work that you're working.
I love that. Ken, if you were to talk to your younger entrepreneur self, when you were starting out, what would you say, hey, you should probably avoid this, to the young Ken starting out in business?
As I said a minute ago, the only value you find in yourself is what you're able to bring to the business. I would avoid that. I would probably avoid thinking, I don't know exactly how to share what I'm doing with the people in the office, because time is very, very valuable. And I would avoid setting goals without involving the people or the staff within the company. And the reason I say that is because I made a mistake one time. I had all the staff in and I said, okay, currently our business level is X amount per year. I think I'd like to take it to another level. Okay, I'd like to take it to a higher level of revenue. So in my mind, let's just pick a number. Let's just pick a number saying we were doing $5 million a year. And I was in my own mind thinking I could do six. I think we could do $6 million. Well, when I asked the staff around me to write down what they thought, they came up with 7.1, 7.5, 8 million, 9 million. And so their thinking as a group was bigger than my thinking as an individual. So I would avoid setting goals where you're the only one involved in the process of setting that goal, because you might find that you're holding your own self back. You're putting your own ceiling on your result when you could do much better, much quicker, and for a lot more than you thought of on your own.
That's profound. Well, looking forward to reading Blue Collar Cash by Ken Rusk.
Let me just say this. So you know how sometimes when you read books and you put them up on the shelf and then you don't ever really use what's in the book? I wanted to make sure that that didn't happen. So I built this course. This course is 8 weeks long. It's only 45 minutes per week. You could probably do it in a weekend if you really wanted to. But what it's designed to do, Priscilla, it's designed to make absolutely certain that you change your life with this information. You don't just read it and let it go away, okay? A lot of these courses are $1,500, $2,000, $3,000. No. My life was really good before I did this book. My life was very successful and I was financially rewarded before this book happened. So it isn't about making money for me. It's about giving back to young entrepreneurs and shortening their learning curve. So I set the price at $129 and you get a free $25 book with that. And if you do that, you also get to donate one to your friend or family or loved one for free. So basically it's buy one, get one free. And you can not only help yourself, but you can help somebody else in the process. It's going crazy good. It's going gangbusters. I'm getting such great reviews on this course. It's changing people's lives. And I'm getting video reviews and it's insane. Go to kenrusk.com and you can find the course and the book there and change your own life, change somebody else's life in the process. You can also go to @KenRuskOfficial. That's where all my social media stuff is. And you can see what we're up to there as well. I appreciate you having me. And I really hope people get involved in this course, because for basically $68, you're going to change your life. And it's happening all over the United States. And I can't wait to see it happen over there as well.
I'm so excited for this. And I've loved this conversation, Ken. You know, when you speak to someone, you get so much from their energy. And this things that people can't teach you, and there are things that you really need someone to really just speak to you and tell you what it is. And I get so much of that from you, from your experience and your wisdom. So thank you so much for that, Ken.
Great. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Ken. Before you go, I always end with this one question. What has faith meant to you on your journey?
You know, faith is one of the 9 characteristics. I actually put that in there for a reason, because you have to believe in what you're doing, and you have to believe in what you're doing is right for you and it's right for, you know, society in general. I always think this. I think faith and generosity are kind of hand in hand. It's strange, because I would never tell you to donate your time or your talent or your treasure or give to charity and expect something to come back from that. But there's something about faith, and that is having faith in yourself and in humanity. It just seems to me that when you give back, you are blessed with more, and then you give back more, and that keeps going. I think faith is really important to me. I mean, obviously, you know, there's somebody up there watching over us. You have to respect that and make sure that you do the right thing in life. And one of those things is what I'm trying to do, which is to help other entrepreneurs follow in my path and do it a lot quicker and have a lot less mistakes. Yeah, give back. you won't believe how much you get when you do give back. Don't do it for that reason, but it just seems to work out that way.
Thank you so much for that, Kim. Thank you for your time. Now it's your time to shine. Let's execute. Thank you again for listening in, and see you again next week. It's time to reinvent.